We started a two-week series last week called The God Connection, and really talked about last week the first part, which is connecting to God. If you don't have the connection to God, there is no connection with one another. It goes this way and that way. It's an L-shaped thing. Comes down, and then it comes out. Lord pours in, and then we're able to pour out. We're connected to Him as the body. And, you know, if you read the book of 1 Corinthians and so forth, you can, especially chapter 12 through 14, you'll see how we are many members of the same body, and Paul goes into that a lot. But as I shared last week, how this message kind of came about, this series, Lord spoke to me, is that I was in Texas 2 weeks ago, and I knew I was there to minister and to pour into people. And upon leaving that Texas and in the airport, the Lord kind of stirred some thoughts in my mind, and the one thought that came out is, wow, nobody poured into me. I was around a lot of Christians. Nobody poured into me. I was thankful that the Lord kept pouring into me to pour out, but there was no Christian that tried to edify me, that tried to sharpen me while in the 4 or 5 days that I was there. It was constantly being poured out, which is great. The Lord used me, but it made me think about how the body needs to encourage and edify each other. And I, again, so thankful for a church that has begun to recognize it and is recognizing everyone's role here. That I do have people here in this church that pour into me in the present when I'm there, and pour into me and pray over me and for me when I'm not with them. But the fact that I can go to a Bible study and be as much fed as the person sitting next to me. I'm not just pouring out, but they're pouring into me. That I can go to prayer and be ministered to as much as I minister to you. As I can be in a church, that I'm being ministered to as much as I'm being ministering to. And the very next day, after those thoughts came about, I opened my Bible and I read in Romans 1, beginning verse 9 through 12. And I want to share this with you. Just read this last week, I'm going to read it again. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. Praying in my spirit, that's what we talked about last week, and you can listen to that message because it relates to what being a bondservant truly means, and that is and that I'll leave up to you. We're going to move on today to catch up with. Making a request, if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you. Why? This is what we're getting into. That I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. So we talked about what does it mean to be serving in the Spirit, and how that is the foundation. That's the connection with God. Now, because of that, let's look at our connection together here. He begins in verse 11, and this is the key verse. For I long to see you, and the question is why? Why does Paul want to see this church in Rome? Why does Paul even care to make mention of this church in Rome? That he may impart to you some spiritual gift. So the first point here is imparting the Spirit of God, something of God. See, imparting the things of the Spirit. What Paul is saying is, I've got something I want to give to you. To impart literally means to pass on, to give generously, to share, to distribute, to grant liberally. And that's the element that keeps coming up. is it's a overflow of generosity or liberally in the way you give. So when I impart something onto somebody, I'm not giving them a little bit. I'm giving them everything I have to give, knowing that as I'm still connected to God as his bondservant, he's going to keep giving me. So I'm never going to be unreplenished. I will always be replenished by God. So he's saying, I can't wait to see you so I can impart some the things that are in me to you. God has poured so much into me. He's given me so much in the things of the Spirit, in spiritual gifts. And gifts go hand in hand with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You can't separate the two. Okay? Love is the key. But all the things of the Holy Spirit that has been poured on, that he's been soaked with. Many of you have received the joy of the Lord today. Many of you today were imparted upon by the Holy Spirit, poured upon something. And guess what? It wasn't just given for your benefit alone, but to pass it on, to impart it on others. So he wants to impart those things on them so they can then impart it on others. When we are praying and we feel a word of knowledge coming on, somebody has his hands or her hands are getting hot or are getting cold, which is a sign that God wants to use those hands for something. We're going to find that person and see what needs to be laid hands on to impart what God is doing. So God has poured stuff into him, and he wants to now pour it out onto them. That is why. Offer up the things that are within him to the church. It's to give liberally, generously, to encourage people to give cheerfully. Let it be an overflow of that. It goes kind of back to, you know, when we offer our tithes and the things to God, we are to give them cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. God's principles don't change. God still loves a cheerful giver, whether you're giving of your tithes, offerings, first fruits, and gifts, or you're giving the things of the Holy Spirit. Because a cheerful giver is not a liberal giver, is not a generous giver. But how cool is it when you receive and you're so excited that you can't wait to bless somebody else with it? And that's what Paul is doing. He's overflowing and being filled. He said, I can't wait to do this. See, John 20, 21 and 22 says this. So Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. See what just happened here. Jesus imparted something on his disciples, and then he said, we did what? He sent out his disciples to impart those things onto others. See, that's how the church is connected. Our body of believers is not connected because you verbally say, I belong to Bayshore Christian Fellowship. Or you sign some kind of membership card. We're connected because we are feeding one another. We're pouring into each other. Whether praying for one another, whether it's through spiritual gifts, whether it's through, I've got a talent, I see that you have the potential of this talent, let me spend some time and pull it out of you and grow and develop it. Disciples making disciples. The body equipping itself. People taking up people to mentor and to edify. The young, the old. They're imparting what God has poured in, they're pouring out. Jesus gave them the peace and sent them out to impart his peace. Paul said, I've got so much, man, I can't wait to just dump it on you, to give it to you. And we'll get to why in a second. 2 Kings, I'm going to skip to Acts 5, chapter 5, verses 12 to 13. And through the hands of the apostles, Many signs and wonders were done among the people. And see, they were all in one accord in Solomon's porch. And this is the problem here. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. You've heard me share this verse a lot. Holy Spirit's moving in the church, in this new church. Power of God is overflowing, but some people got scared of the Holy Spirit and said, no thanks. We esteem you. We highly revere what God is doing in your life, but we'll leave that up to you guys. And it made me actually wonder. See, this isn't happening in Jerusalem. What would have happened if the general populace of the church in Jerusalem did not say, no thank you, we don't dare join you in this. But if they received it and made themselves available to have what God poured onto the disciples and the 120 that were in the upper room overflow into their lives even more. Think about that, because if you really look at the book of Acts, yes, things happened in the church of Jerusalem, but the true impartations took place outside of the church of Jerusalem in the churches that Paul, Peter, Philip, the cities they changed. Barnabas, Timothy, it was in those areas, in those cities, in those regions where you really hear more about, in the book of Acts, I'm not saying it didn't happen in Jerusalem, because you know it did to many, but this was the biggest church. This was, you know, Alpha Church, Church One, where everything came out of. Would Jerusalem have been changed? How dramatically could Jerusalem, in that moment, in that time, be changed instead of God allowing them to be dispersed? And you see what happened all over. Because that could have still happened all over. But what we read about the Holy Spirit's overflow is in other churches. We don't hear too much about that specifically in the Jerusalem church. Makes me wonder. I'm not saying one way or the other, but it makes me think about if we all get to a place where we're receiving and pouring out, if we recognize our role as a body. God has given us Keyport. And I'm believing we're taking Hazlet, Union Beach, Kingsburg, you know, Aberdeen, Mattawan. We're not limiting God. So as He's pouring in, we want to pour out whatever town it might be. We won't do that. But the church, this church used to be a church afraid of the Holy Spirit. Our church used to be a church afraid of the Holy Spirit. Thank God. Thank you, Lord, that this isn't a church like that anymore. People used to say, I'm afraid to speak in tongues. Or I'm afraid, I don't know if I believe in God healing through me. I'll pray that you be healed. Thank God that's not a church like that anymore. That now we're saying more, Lord. This isn't enough. Want more. And people are stepping into their own, recognizing how the Holy Spirit is working through them. Many of us are still growing in our Christian character because we're still babes in the Lord or babes in this area. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm still learning. Every week, every month, the Lord is developing or strengthening a new area in my life in these things. I'm still learning too. But you know what? Everything I learn, you better bet it's going to be imparted to you one way or another. It's going to be shared with you one way or another. Lead by example from the pulpit. As your shepherd, I lead the sheep by example. Where I go, I show you how to go. That's my job. That's my role. And teach you to go there on your own as well, so that you can lead others and be in those same ways. So He wants to impart those things. Second point is, and this is why He wants to impart those things, is to establish. What does He say? That I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. To be established is to be grounded. It's to be set up for other things. It's to be firmed up, to be taught, to be strengthened, to be built up, to be edified. so that your pillars are strong, your spiritual foundation and the pillars that hold up that spiritual foundation is strong. He's saying, I want to pour this into you so that you within yourself get grounded, get firmed up, become confident in who you are, in whose you are, and who is flowing through your veins, your spiritual veins, who's breaking forth. I want to ground you up and establish you so that you can become a solid body that won't be moved, won't be deterred by what happens in your life personally and in the life of those around you. That no matter what chaos goes around you, your faith is going to keep you emotionally balanced, spiritually focused, physically strong, mentally geared up. That no matter what, you are so established that no matter what blows at you, you come against it with the word of God and in the faith, knowing that his word is true and in the authority and power of the Holy Spirit. That you have that command been imparted to you. I want to establish you, church in Rome, Paul is saying, so that when the Roman soldiers start coming against you, and that when the Jewish Pharisees who are trying to call you blasphemers, who are attacking your faith, and anyone else who's trying to destroy you, no matter what is happening around you, you know who you are and whose you are and whose strength you're standing in. Yes, amen. So that when someone speaks to you and says you're not good enough, when someone says to you you're not strong enough, you can say, I am, because Christ is in me. And I walk not by faith. I mean, not by might, but by the Spirit of God. I walk in faith. When the lies of the enemy start filtering into your mind, I am established enough to know how to counteract the enemy. When I'm stressed out and feeling overwhelmed, I'm established to get grounded and know how to be still and know that he is God. And that peace passes understanding. Do you see where we're going here? He's trying to establish them. This is why he imparts these things. And he's also establishing them to do the work of the kingdom. Not just to play defense, but to take ground. We're not to hold the fort. We're to step forward and claim the ground. We're not maintenance men and women. We're clearers. We clear the ground. We press into it. We become proactive. How? Because we move in the power of God. But we can't move if we don't know the game plan. If we're not well equipped. If the ground we're standing on is not solid now, it's not going to be solid when we take a step. So get established here so you can know how to stand. And when you get established here, even if the ground is shaky there, you still know how to balance yourself. You still know how to balance yourself. You'll be the perfect surfer that whenever the waves come, you're still riding the wave. You're still on top. You're able to shift and move all by the Spirit of God and the Word of God and the Spirit of God flowing through you and in you. Ephesians 3:14 through 19 says this: For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Imagine the riches of the glory of God he's going to grant us from. To be strengthened with might through the Spirit, where? In the inner man. Strengthened in might. Be established in the might of God. That Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Everything we do is based in love. May be able to comprehend not just me by myself, but with all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. So that you know that God loves you so much, and because He loves you so much, and you recognize, receive, and embrace, and are grounded in that, that you know no matter what happens, that love is never going to fail. That love is never going to change. That love is what keeps you balanced. And He's pouring Himself into you. The Spirit of God is flowing through you because of that love, the grounding. Colossians 2, 1 through 7. I love this. For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. This is Paul writing to the church. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, this is what he wishes for them. He prays for them. This is the grounding. Their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together again in love, attaining all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. We spent a lot of time a few weeks ago talking about that access to the wisdom and knowledge to God that we have in His Spirit. Full understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We have access to that. His love and His love overflowing through us, grounding us, establishing us, has given us access to everything we need, those riches and the glory of heaven. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. That you've been grounded. You got it. You've put it together. You're working together in an orderly fashion. You're moving together as one. Not individual parts going their own way, but the body, the church, is working together, ministering to itself, strengthening its weaker members, and imparting unto them what they have. And that's expected. That's what's expected. As you therefore, verse 6, have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Liberally, cheerfully, with a thankful heart, pouring it out. You've been grounded in this way. You've been grounded this way. You know what? I have to tell you, I expect when I come together with anyone of this church to be as equally filled as I am pouring out to fill. Why? Because we're getting it. We're beginning to bond that way. And we're being established. We're being strengthened and established in the love of God. And we received a word for that this morning in prayer. That the Lord is kind of strengthening our love with compassion for one another. And that compassion leads to pouring something into them. We're being established. I expect that when we go to a Bible study, that I'm going to be fed and feed. I expect in prayer that I'm going to be as poured into as I pour out, as I said. I expect even when we come together socially that God's going to move somehow and I'm going to be edified as I will edify you. I expect those things. Why? Because we're being equally yoked. We're being grounded and established in these things together. We're running the race that Paul writes about together. We're in the going in the same direction together. And I know that when someone has something that I may not have, I'm going to say, hey, give it to me. And they're going to be willing to do it. I want a piece of that. I want you to be willing to impart that on me too. You know, God had to teach me this lesson first through my wife, and my wife says, I've got something. I need you to trust me in this. And I had to learn, because as a guy and as a single guy for so many years and leading this church for so many years and not knowing how to receive, to be honest with you, and pouring out, I had to learn how to receive. But that's part of God establishing me and grounding me and teaching me how to receive. And that's extending to you. And we're teaching you and trying to ground this body to receive. And this is why. Why did he want to get to Rome? To impart all the things God has poured into him. Why did he want to impart? To establish him. Why does he want to establish him? This is why. We've been talking about this all along. To be mutually encouraged. To be mutually encouraged. The church edifying one another. Most of us, when we think about body edifying each other, we think of the verse in Proverbs 27:17 as iron sharpens iron. So a man sharpens the countenance of a friend. That's the one that we run to first and foremost. But we don't never think about what Paul just wrote in Romans. That even Paul, the greatest missionary in the history of Christianity, the one who changed the world, who impacted the world for Christ, like no one before him and probably no one since him, said, I need to give you what I have to get you grounded so that you can pour into me. So you can minister to me as I pour into you. So you can help me when I'm not at my best or I'm lacking something that you might have. I'm teachable. I'm pliable. I want to get you grounded in the things of God and pour those things of the Holy Spirit onto you so that you can speak into my life. So when I am not able to hear God, you can hear him and speak his words to me prophetically. When he gives you something, I want to receive it. So when I'm not able to heal something in my body that's hurting me, I can say, hey, would you lay hands and pray over me and heal me right now? And we know Paul was near death several times. And guess what? The church prayed. We know Paul was in prison how many times? And guess what? The church prayed. And bars opened and chains broke. Miracles happened. Established so that can be mutually beneficial. Verse 12, that says, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. That's a powerful and beautiful picture of saying, I'm not better than you. I just have something right now that I want to give to you so that once you get it, you can let the Holy Spirit develop it in you so then we can start working together in this. Our vision is to equip the body, to build the body. This is what we're doing. I believe this is Paul's heart. I believe this is the heart of Jesus. That's why he imparted the things of the Spirit of him onto his disciples. So that said, go! And do the same. 1 Timothy 4:13 through 16 says this, and this is Paul mentoring the young Timothy, the young pastor. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Stay focused on your reading, the Word of God, exhorting, which means declaring, lifting up the Word of God and encouraging people with the Word of God. Stay true to the doctrine of the Word of God. Do not neglect the gifts within you, the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Don't neglect them. Don't be shy about using them. Use them. Which was given to you by prophecy and with the laying on of hands of the eldership. We did that to Bill today. We laid hands. We imparted upon him the things of the Spirit for leadership. Paul imparted the things of the Spirit upon Timothy for leadership, for pastorship. He's equipping him, he's building, he's built him, and he's encouraging him to use the gifts and the things he's poured into him. Paul poured of himself into Timothy, and he's saying, now, Timothy, use what I've given you so that you can pour them out onto your body, your church, your ministry, your family, your elders, your leaders, from the youngest to the oldest. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them. You see the theme of imparting being a liberal and a generous thing? So when you do these things, do it with everything. Liberally, generously, your entirety, cheerfully. Do that. Do it. Because this is what Jesus did. And this is what Paul did. Continue in them. For in doing so, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Did you get that? You'll save yourself and those who hear you. You'll bring salvation unto them, but you're building and you're strengthening them. You're establishing them so they can establish others, that their households, their community could be saved. Their region could be saved. The people about them will be strengthened enough to be saved. This is what we're trying to do, and this is what Paul did, and I'm thankful we have a church that does this. I am so thankful for that, because we are going at this together. And I want to close with this, 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit that's being imparted. Who gives us? There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. What's been imparted on you is for the profit of all, to be imparted on others. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. God is pouring this out on us. This is what he's called us to do. In a moment, I'm going to ask our worship team to come on up and go back into an extended time of worship. But as we're doing that, I want to encourage you right now, because I know many of us here have had things the Holy Spirit has given us today, poured into us today. I want to encourage you to be obedient during this time. We're not going to rely on our prayer team to come on up as we normally do. They'll be up after the service for any other things that may be going on. But for now, as we go into the extended time of worship, I want the Holy Spirit to flow through you. And I want to encourage you, if God has given you a word for somebody, if God is giving you a word of knowledge for somebody, if God is imparting something unto you, Holy Spirit's poured something into you for anyone here, that includes me. Don't be shy because of my role. I need it as much as the next person. If it's somebody next door with the children, you need to go over there. I want to encourage you. If somebody on the balcony, or if one of you on the balcony has been given something, you, Willie or Tori, don't be afraid to come down here and impart it on someone, on the person got Holy Spirit. So I want you just to get into the Spirit, let the Holy Spirit minister through you, and then as you hear and are being led, I want you to get up and move. So if the worship team would come on up right now. And guys on the worship team, if the Holy Spirit's leading you to do something, put your instruments or mics down and do it. And if you just sing We Cry Holy to begin with. But yeah, if the Holy Spirit's moving you, put what you have down and do what God is leading you to do. So, Holy Spirit, right now we come before you. Come and flow in this place. Anointing oil is here if you feel led to anoint. Holy Spirit, come, move in this place. Speak into each one of us right now in Jesus' name. Pour into us. You've already poured, and maybe what's been poured now is being stirred to be poured out, starting to bubble over. Let it burn. Let it bubble. Let it heat up. Let it overflow right now. From the youngest to the oldest, Lord, you do not discriminate with age in any way, shape, or form. Holy Spirit, move right now. Holy Spirit, move right now.
Fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus, the greatness of
mercy. So as he leads you, just feel free to get up. You're welcome to stand up right now if you want. Just want to worship right now.
Feet of Jesus, we cry, home.